It's showtime, folks. Welcome in, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. A little bit later on this Monday, noon to 3 today, 3 hours. We'll do this again tomorrow. And Big Joe had a prior speaking engagement before we made this change, so he is speaking to the Waffle College. Dr. Crane is here on the ones and twos. Nick Frazier, what's up?
Hi, Chase. I haven't seen you in a while.
I know. It's been a minute. So
how you doing, man?
And I didn't even say hi, so I apologize.
You're good.
Good to see you.
Good morning.
And we are pleased to have our usual Monday guest at 10 a.m., Brett Kern, former Titans punter, in studio with us. What's up, Brett?
It's good to be here.
Yeah, man. Glad you could do this. We'll talk some Titans and different things. You're rocking the Oilers today.
I am.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, you know.
It's probably one of my favorite throwback logos.
It is. I have said, and I don't know if we've talked about this or not, that the NFL, as much as they love to make money, should do a actual throwback weekend where
everybody
throws back. The refs throw back.
Ooh, heavy.
Old, like they wear the old stripes. Like you have the old NFL shield. Like just everything. The networks can do it. NASCAR has made a killing on it because they do it every year at Darlington. The NFL would totally clean up doing it.
I think that would go better than the Color Rush.
Yeah, right. Get rid of Color Rush and do throw. You could do that on, I mean, I have heard that was talked about of doing that on Thursday nights. But I think just do a full weekend of it where you basically tell every team, hey, do a home and away version and we'll alternate years.
They pick the year?
Yeah, they could. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean,
like it. I love it. I love it when teams do throwbacks.
And with the Titans, I would be cool with, you could do the Oilers 1 year, and you could do the Titans, you know.
Bring back the white helmets.
The white helmets, the old school look that I grew up on that, you know, you played in for a long time. Do that too.
Yeah.
I mean, but I think – and you obviously have some teams like the Cowboys and the Chiefs that probably wouldn't change. But, you know, Houston I know is a newer franchise, but they've done a uniform change, so they could throw back, you know, a little bit. So I think it would be a cool thing to do.
I'm with you 100%.
All right, good.
Yeah.
We're in agreement on the first thing. I'm going to throw out our question of the day. Brett's going to be in studio with us for the first hour. Big Joe will be in sometime in the second hour. But our question of the day is as follows. Which franchise, this includes the Oilers, franchise rookie quarterback record does Cameron Ward have the best chance to break? 3,338 passing yards. Can you guess who holds that?
I know Marcus was really close, or he was on pace to.
Yeah.
And then he got hurt.
Right.
But I know he was chasing Warren Moon.
It was Warren Moon.
Okay.
Yep.
Warren Moon?
Yep.
Okay.
It is Warren Moon.
All right.
Marcus's name is going to come up a lot in this discussion.
Yeah.
19 passing touchdowns in a season. That is Marcus.
It's Marcus. Okay.
That is Marcus.
I'm just going to say Marcus for
everything. Yeah. 371 passing yards in a game.
That's Marcus.
That was Marcus. That was at New Orleans.
That
was at New Orleans that year when
overtime.
Wisenhunt had gotten fired and Malarkey had taken
overtime.
Over.
That was a good one. That was a good one.
4 passing touchdowns in a game.
Marcus did that opening game against Tampa.
He did that opening game against Tampa
and
at New Orleans.
At New Orleans. There you
4
go.
4 touchdowns. Will Levis also did it in his first start.
Falcons.
Against the Falcons.
There you go.
That was DeAndre Hopkins had 3 of those.
Yes.
In that game. And then 62.2 completion percentage, which was Marcus.
Okay.
So of those 5,
right,
what do you think Cam Ward that has the best chance of doing?
Probably the percentage, completion percentage. I think he can get that. I think that seems like the most attainable.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with that one first.
Okay, I said that one too. Okay. I also think 19 passing touchdowns is doable. Because I feel like with this offense, they're going to have him throw the ball.
I think, well, that brings into 371, but that's a lot of yards.
Yeah, I mean, in one game, maybe.
I'd be curious to see, you know, if somebody like C.J. Stroud, Jaden Daniels, if any of those guys clipped 371 at any point. My guess is Caleb Williams is a no.
That's a really good question. I should have looked that up, but let's see. So Stroud in his rookie year, 23.
I feel like he had.
Yeah, he might. His second game, he had 384.
Was that his highest last year? probably
in 2023. Yeah.
So 371 is that's.
Who else you say?
Well, I said Stroud. I don't think Caleb Williams got that.
Probably not.
Trying to think if there's anybody else. I'm just trying to put it in comparison. Kind of really how hard 371 is.
Caleb had 363.
Okay.
That's his highest, so he was close.
So that it could happen, but I don't think that's – I think the we're going to go with completion percentage.
Okay. I like that. 371 is certainly possible.
It's possible, but that's – just to let people know that that's hard.
615-737-1025. That's our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com. So you can vote on this. I put it out on X or Twitter about an hour or so ago at Chase on Game, and we retweeted it from 1025 The Game. Let's see. A couple of – Big Joe even weighed in. He said, number one, most talked about draft pick in the history of Nashville sports talk radio. He thinks he could break Warren Moon's season record.
Yeah.
I mean, and Jonathan says, if he plays from day one, I like his chances at over 19 touchdowns.
I agree.
I mean, I don't even know if he has to – because Marcus didn't play – then 16 games.
Correct.
That year. He played,
I think, 12 or 13, I think.
Yes. He missed four. So, yes. So, 12. Because okay. He missed Atlanta at Houston in the middle of the season, so October, November. And then he missed the last two games of the year. Is that when he got
– I mean
– is that when he broke his
– that was against Jacksonville.
Yeah, okay.
But, I mean, you got to look, what, 3,300, 3,400 yards, right?
Yeah,
if he could play all 17 games, that's shade under 200.
Yep. I mean, Marcus only the ironic thing is that year, Marcus threw over 300 yards twice, 367 against Indy here, which was a loss, and then the 371 at New Orleans, the win in overtime.
Yeah, we only had three wins that
yeah,
year.
That's right. Yeah, sorry to bring that
off
up.
To a great start at Tampa. But, yeah, I mean, you know, if you're looking at 195, 200 yards a game passing, you know, that's obtainable. I think it just depends on, you know, how many games he can get in his rookie year.
By the way, the NFL, I don't know what they were doing that year because you guys started on the road two games at Tampa at Cleveland and then had four in a row at home.
Yeah, the NFL schedule sometimes can be quite – the one I don't understand and the one I don't like is like when we used to play – Indy, and then you got a week where you played somebody else, and then you played Indy again.
Yeah.
Or you play Houston, and then you play them 2-3 weeks later, and it's just, you know, you just felt like you just played them, right? And so they did that. I feel like they've been doing that the last couple years, 4 years, where they're cramming.
Well, especially at the end of the season.
At the end of the season, right?
Let's see. Matthew in Nashville must be a Steelers fan. I don't know if he'll break any records, but he's not touching Big Ben's 14 wins record. I don't think so. Not with this team.
Big Ben came into a pretty good situation.
He did.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he did. That was
good for him, though.
That was a fun year to watch.
Yeah.
Dustin in Hopkinsville says if he has 371 yards in a game, he'll also get four touchdowns in a game. That's probably fair.
That's a good. Yeah.
He also said watch him take Moon's number and break Moon's sack record. 47. I hope not.
I still can't get over David Carr's. That's just
76. Yeah,
that's unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
That had to take a toll on his body because Dave didn't play very long, did he?
No. I don't think so. I'd have to look this up. Brandon from Spring Hill. What about the franchise rookie record for fewest interceptions? Ooh. Wonder who has that. Let's see. So Marcus had. That year, because I have it, he threw 10. So 19 touchdowns, 10 picks.
Okay.
In 12 games.
I mean, I think you'll be able to tell, you know, the first quarter of the season, those first four games, you know, kind of what Callahan's trying to do, yeah. Right? Are we taking deep shots because you got some threats now? Are you trying to keep everything in front of you? Not necessarily check down routes, but concepts where, you know, you're only throwing 5 to 10 yard routes, right? And you're moving the chains that way between running the ball. So I'd be curious to see how they come out with Cam, obviously, and what kind of offense they're going to run and what they're going to do for him to get that completion percentage. You know, my guess is they probably want 65 to 70%.
Yeah.
And so what are you doing to help complement that?
Did coaches talk about like the, you know, how an interception comes to be? Like if it's a guy, like if it's not on the quarterback, if the right. receiver yeah. bounces off his hands
yep.
or he runs the wrong route or something like that. Right. Or if it's late in a game and you're trying to get a big chunk play and it's just, hey, you're throwing it up there and
yeah.
trying to make a play and the DB makes a better play. I mean, does that go into account when coaches are reviewing film?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you could have, you know, an interception that you're throwing at the end of the half, you know, in a Hail Mary type situation. Like, you know, yeah. that's what you're asked to do, right?
Right.
And so, obviously, we know how much of that play is just – and there's actually, you know, on Saturdays and walkthroughs, we go through that play. We went through that play of like, hey, this is how we want to set up. We need two guys here. We need one in the back, kind of, you know, in the Commanders and the Bears.
Oh, yeah.
Right? That last play. And there was the Bears receiver all alone in the back. Well, the goal is we're going to try to tip that back to you and hope nobody sees you.
Yeah,
because right?
the DB.
Right? So even that play has gone through to immense detail.
Yeah.
And we practiced it every Saturday.
Yeah.
Because you never know. But so, I mean, you have that type of situation. You know, you might have a receiver not coming back to the ball, right? And the DB makes a break on it because he's watching the quarterback's eyes. You know, yeah, there's some that could go on the quarterback. There's some that can go on protection. There's some that can go on a receiver getting called out in a team meeting because he was supposed to run a 15-yard route and instead he only ran 12 or 13, right? And it gave the DB a better angle to pick it off. So, yeah, every interception is analyzed pretty heavily.
He is Brett Kern in for Big Joe for the first hour, 615-737-1025. Our question of the day, what franchise rookie record does Cam Ward have the best chance to break? The passing yards in the season, which is held by Warren Moon at 3,338, 19 passing touchdowns held by Marcus Mariota, 371 passing passing yards in a game, held by Marcus Mariota, four passing touchdowns in a game held by Will Levis and Marcus Mariota, and a 62.2 completion percentage also held by Marcus Mariota. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, Cam Ward was on the field for the first time in rookie minicamp. We'll talk about that. Coming up next, Chase and Big Joe, 1025-1063, the game.
Competition has kind of been the buzzword surrounding everything around here, especially quarterback position too. How much do you embrace that given the journey that you've had in terms of having to come in here and earn the job?
I always embrace competition. I didn't know that was a buzzword. That's what people are saying. Everybody's really muted on my phone. So I always compete in everything I do with myself, other quarterbacks, receivers, you know, anything we're doing, we compete. So it really don't bother me. At the end of the day, it's a job. So, you know, that's how you got to approach it. You got to get your work in early in the morning, early, late at night. So it's every day for me. I do the same stuff every day, and I just try to get better.
That was Cam Ward on Saturday, chasing Big Joe. Brett Kern in for Big Joe for the first hour. And every time I listen to him answer questions like that, I like him more and more because that was the perfect answer. But look, I think we know that, yes, they're saying this is a competition. It is a buzzword because that's what the coaches and the organization right. saying when we all know that it probably isn't a competition.
I mean, I've been a part of competitions where you have 10 punts in a punt period and 7 go to me and 3 go to the other guy.
Yeah.
Right. But it's a competition.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, like, you can't go out there and just.
But he's saying he's saying all the right things. I was fortunate, you know, to be at the facility this weekend and got to meet him. And I mean, he's, you know, everything is advertised. Polite, you know, looks you in the eye. Firm handshake. I know it doesn't seem like much, but that's a great start in my book. And he's saying all the right things, and he's a competitor. To go from where he went, from Incarnate Word to Washington State, you know, finishing out at Miami. I mean, that's not easy as a quarterback to be going from school to school to school. And everywhere he's gone, people have gotten better.
Yeah.
He's gotten better. And
right.
So now what is it going to be like in the NFL? Where, I mean, this is his job. This is, like he said, early in the mornings, late at night. This is what he does. And so how will we make everybody else better?
I think him bouncing around like he did actually might help him mm-hmm. in this situation. And I know Brian Callahan said that
yeah.
you know, especially for a quarterback, you know, going to different systems. And I know he had some of the same coaches, I think, from Incarnate Word to Washington State and, you know, same terminology and things. But it helps that he's getting to know new teammates
right.
and comfortable in that kind of setting. So I kind of like that, and I think maybe that's one of the advantages of this whole transfer portal world that we're living in, that these guys are kind of used to that. Once they come into the league, it's like, hey, yeah, we've done this before. So and it shows that he's been able to pick up the offenses pretty quickly, and that was another thing that came out of rookie camp that you can tell he's been studying. Like, they gave him the playbook before the playbook, draft, and he's been in the playbook, you know, really looking at things. So,
yeah, I mean, that's the main part of rookie minicamp, is we're going to throw some stuff at these guys.
Mm-hmm.
We actually get to see them on the field, right? Yeah, I mean, they're in shorts, T-shirt, you know, helmet.
It was a lot of one-on-ones, too.
A lot of one-on-ones. I thought was good. You get to see a lot of these, especially a lot of these undrafted kids, right? Maybe that you've watched a little bit of film on them, the scouts have, right? But to actually see them in person going against each other and competing, but also, hey, you know, we're in meetings for a while. We're going to throw some stuff at you. We're going to throw some install, some basic stuff. All right, let's see. Let's go out to practice. Let's go through a walkthrough. Who's making – everybody's going to make mistakes, right? But who's making the mistake the second time, the third time? Who's able to correct the mistake quickly on the field? And really, I mean, that's what rookie minicamp is to kind of start separating the guys mentally and to be able to watch them physically of what they're doing on the field.
So you said – were you there Saturday?
I was there Saturday after their practice. We just did like – so, you know, now they don't do the symposium anymore.
Yeah.
Which I think is a good thing. And so the Titans had myself, Dr. Dyson in, Bullock, the Freak, myself, and Delaney.
Nice.
And they just had like a little sit-down panel and really just to explain to the to the rookies kind of our stories, really, because you have three first-round draft picks in a row, right?
Yeah.
Delaney, who was a sixth-round pick. You know, who played special teams for his first 6 years before he came here and got paid to be a tight end.
Yep.
And then myself, who's, you know, undrafted free agent, I had one workout with the Browns, no combine, nothing. And to be able to play as long as I did. So really you had, guys all from different, areas of where they've been playing. But our theme was the same, really, to explain to them, you know, how to be a pro, to create habits, healthy habits, how you're taking care of your body, you know, this is your job. And getting in the playbook and kind of what's going to separate the guys that make the team and don't. And I gave my special team spiel of how important special teams is. So it was a good time. So
yeah, and I'm curious because the thing with Vrabel always preached special teams.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, he was all about that. If you're not willing to play teams, you're probably not going to make this team. And I think Callahan's done that a little bit, but maybe not to the extent that we saw with Vrabel.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I remember, you know, having a conversation with, you know, Craig Aukerman and remember watching Nick Westbrook-Ikhine down punts, like plus 50 punts, right?
Yeah.
And needing somebody that can have sure hands, that can catch it, that's not going to let it bounce and be susceptible to wherever it's going to go, right? And I just remember having a conversation like, hey, like, this guy's got some hands.
Yeah.
And I feel like, you know, I think it would help to give him some of these reps in the preseason because I feel like he would be the best one at downing these punts. And here's an undrafted guy, right?
Right.
Those conversations are had. Guys will make the team, not make the team based on, hey, if this guy can only play kickoff, right, but this guy can do all core four, we're going to keep the guy that can play all four.
Right.
Right. But understand, I told him, I was like, look, 99% of you in this room are going to play special teams. The only guy that's not is Cam.
Yeah.
And even Cam might be asked to hold at times, just to make sure, because you never know, right? So, you know, just trying to tell them how important special teams are. And there's probably gonna be two or three guys that are in that room that make the team just based off special teams.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, Derek Mason is a prime example of that, of a guy that, you know, maybe he thought he should have had his shot sooner.
Right.
But he got really, really good at being a returner and stuck at that for a few years. And then ultimately, when they had to give him a chance, he got it and he made the most of it.
I mean, that's what Delaney Walker was saying.
Yeah.
You know, and I look at somebody like, you know, Zaire Franklin in Indy, the linebacker.
Yeah.
That dude was a beast on special teams. And then now it's like, hey, you've seen our system on the defense. We feel confident. You never know. Somebody gets hurt, he goes in, and now he's a starting linebacker and is getting paid starting linebacker money.
The thing with Cam that kind of came out from the weekend, I saw TD tweeted this out, that there was a rep that he had with Io Manor that it was a bad ball. I think it was underthrown. And as Io Manor came back, you know, to the huddle, Cam said, hey, let's run that again. Let's make this rep count.
Yeah.
And I read that and was like, that that's leadership. That's what I want the young quarterback to do. Now, you can't do that every time. You know, sometimes it is what it is. But in this setting,
when you can,
I thought that was really good that he did. A coach didn't have to tell him, hey, run that again. It was him going, hey, let's do this again.
I love that. That's great.
Yeah. I mean, I just think that shows you that he cares.
He does.
You know, he wants to get it right, especially when they have this extra time to be able to work on these things.
And this is the time, you know, to do it. You know, you don't really know much, too. Like, Cam, I think, also understands, you know, the depth chart of who's going to be getting reps. Like, who's he going to be getting reps with? And that's the whole, you know, the whole Restrepo thing. It's like, well, I don't know how many reps they're going to have together, right? And so I think he understands, like, hey, this is rookie minicamp. You know, I'm only going to have so many opportunities to be able to redo a rep because, you know, you come to vets there and all that kind of stuff, that's not going to happen, right? If he wants to replay that rep, they're going to have to do it after practice, which I'm sure, honestly, he'll be like, hey, let's get over here. Let's run these routes and let's be on the same page here.
How much, you know, like, obviously there's what we see, like when we're at practice and stuff, and then there's a lot of stuff we don't see that, you know, gets worked on behind the scenes. Do you think the coaches, while Restrepo is an undrafted guy, they want these drafted guys to get their reps and to work out. But, I mean, could they work him in just because they know the chemistry is already there and they know, hey, we might actually get some production here, so let's see what he can do at the NFL level, especially like in a preseason game.
Right.
Could you see them maybe forcing him in there a little bit more just because he has the history?
Yeah, well, I mean, the other thing too is, you know, I'm sure come camp, right, you're going to have your vets get rest days. Right. And so, you know, if Ridley's getting a rest day, Lockett's getting a rest day, maybe Jefferson, I'm not, you know, 100% sure on that. But, you know, that's the opportunity when those vets get those rest days, that's when Restrepo is going to get his reps with the ones. Right. And obviously, I mean, why not get him in there? There's going to be other guys, too, that are going to get the opportunity to get those reps as well. And here's the other thing on Restrepo is, like, if he goes out and does well enough, there's also it's the practice squad. If he can, if he can be on the practice squad for a year or two, right, and still get reps with Cam or just be in the building and being on the practice field, it's not necessarily. I think people might think, well, he needs to go out there and be a day one starter. He's gonna make the team. Well, you know, maybe. But there's also the opportunity to be on a practice squad for a year or two and learn that way. And so, I mean, that's also another option. But I think they'll work him. They have a plan,
right?
You know, and they'll be able to get him in and get reps when the time's right.
My fear is, though, I mean, because I thought about that too, like, well, yeah, he could just make the practice squad. I don't want to see a repeat of LeGarrette Blount trying to sneak him down.
Yeah.
You were there. I mean,
LeGarrette. And who was the tight end? Was it Jack Doyle? He went to Western Kentucky.
Yeah, Jack Doyle. And then
he went on
to
Indy and played there for 7-8 years and was pretty productive. Yeah. I mean, that happens, you know, especially if it's hard because you're trying to get guys out there in preseason to get reps and get reps. And then all of a sudden you have a guy that just goes out there and balls out and you're thinking, man, how are we going to keep him, right?
Right. It's like, where does he fit?
Kind of have to cut him, but then if we cut him, we're susceptible to, you know, obviously another team picking him up. So, there's that chance, but that's a chance you take.
In keeping with the receiver conversation coming up next, I'm having a hard time, you know, picking six to make the roster outside of the obvious ones.
You think it's
ones.
More than six? Are you trying to find the sixth or the fifth?
I'm trying
sixth?
To find the sixth, really five, six, seven. Is where I'm kind of struggling right now. So I want to get your thoughts on kind of what I have it looking like today in May as we go into OTAs and all of that. Brett Kern is in for Big Joe for the first hour. We're broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service.
You know, Xavier's been a really productive college player. I mean, you look at all the names of receivers that have played at the University of Miami, and he's at the top, which is impressive. He might not necessarily be the biggest or the fastest player that's probably ever come out of Miami, but he's been incredibly productive, and he's found ways to play football the right way. So he'll start out as a slot player for us, and he'll have every chance to compete just like everybody else will. But you look at his production and what he's done as a football player, and he puts himself in pretty good position to be competitive. And even though he didn't run the fastest time in the world, I'm excited to see what he can do.
So the 40 time wasn't that big a deal for you guys?
I mean, it all matters. Yeah, I mean, it matters. But I think you see the football player and you see the speed that he plays with when he plays. I wouldn't have thought that would have been the time that he ran. But that's how you go from a potential draft pick to being an undrafted free agent at the end of the day. And he's got a lot to prove, and I'm excited to see him do it.
Scouting Cam, did you end up seeing a lot more of him than maybe you would have?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I watch a lot of tape on Cam, and you see all the plays that Xavier made over his career, particularly this past year. All the players on that offense, we had a little bit more familiarity with just because of the nature of how much film you watch when you're evaluating a quarterback. And then you got a chance to be exposed to him at the pro day. And then again, he was there for the private as well. So those guys, you know, Arroyo, the tight end, and a couple of those other guys that have signed other places, we had pretty good familiarity with those players.
That was Brian Callahan over the weekend talking about Xavier Restrepo, the Titans' undrafted free agent wide receiver. Chase McKay, Brett Kern with you here on this Monday. Dr. Crane behind the glass. You may be tuning in going, wait a minute, where's DVD? This is not DVD. We did a little switcheroo today, so they were on 9 to noon. We're on noon to 3. And then Jake Lyman and Derek Mason will be on 3 to 6 this afternoon as Jared is on vacation this week. He'll be back at the end of the week, so switching things up a little bit. I'm glad you could come hang out.
Glad I could be here.
Yeah, man. So Xavier Restrepo obviously factors into things, and I think it's great that they invited him in. But when I look at the receiver group right now on May 12th, before OTAs and all that stuff, training camp, there's still some free agents out there. Even though Teron Davenport said earlier when he was on DVD that he didn't think they were going to bring anybody else in because they got
Cooper's out there.
Yeah, Cooper's out there, Keenan Allen.
Okay.
I mean, but they got – you look at the roster right now, there's
– Right. So you 12. Said – so you think they keep six?
I think six is probably the safe bet, maybe seven if there's a special teams guy that, you know, they just
– Yeah.
But, I mean, they could also carry three quarterbacks. I mean, there's right. – You know, there's a lot to kind of factor in there. Plus, you know, do you kind of look at it? You mentioned the whole practice squad thing.
Right.
You know, at the end of training camp, do you go, well, look, if we try and sneak Restrepo to the practice squad, he's going to get claimed. But
if we try and slip Bryce Oliver,
So, right. I mean, a guy may not make it because, you know, you can probably sneak him through and have a better chance of doing it.
So you have four for sure, I'm assuming.
Ridley, Lockett, DK, Io Manor.
Your two fourth-round picks, right?
Yeah.
Okay, like, so then where do you put Traylon?
Traylon right now,
he can start on the PUP.
I think he starts maybe on the PUP list.
Okay.
Unless they get into training, like at the start of training camp, he's cleared, and it's like, okay, let's see what he has. But my thing is I just need the kid to stay healthy. Like, right. I feel like he's shown flashes so many times.
Right.
But then he gets hurt.
Gets hurt.
And, you know, that is what it is. That's not all on him. That happens. But
because you can't – I mean, you're looking at – if you're just saying get rid of him, right, then that's, what, four – what does Spotrac say? 4.5 in dead cap.
Right.
And if people are saying get rid of Will Levis, there's another almost 4.5. So now you're looking at $9 to $10 million in dead cap that you can't spend.
Now, I think Levis, I mean –
Well, I mean, the Saints.
Do you call this? I mean, is he better than
Pittsburgh? Do we know Pittsburgh?
Well, I think Rodgers.
Is he in a cave trying to figure out if he wants to go to Pittsburgh or not, or what?
I think that's going to happen, but I don't know. Maybe. I mean, do you do that? Yeah, thank you, Braves.
They're just showing Braves on Pat McAfee. He's got the pad on, taking on blocks, shocking and shedding on him.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
So I don't know. I mean, you could call New Orleans, see if they're interested in Levis. But the thing with Burks is if he can stay healthy and be productive, then, yeah, he's probably in the top four.
Okay. So let's just say he starts on the PUP.
Okay. So he doesn't count. Van Jefferson you've brought in for not a lot of money.
Right.
I don't really know what he has left in the tank. I don't think a whole lot.
Okay.
But he's here. So – is he better than the two fourth-round guys? Is he better than Restrepo? Is he better than Bryce Oliver? I don't know. But maybe he's the fifth.
Okay.
And then you basically have
– you have your special teams wide receiver spot for
sixth.
Right,
which is six. And that, to me, is...
That's a toss-up. Because you have Proche, who came. Yeah. They just signed him, and he's a punt returner.
Right. So he's a good... He's in the mix. Jaquan Jackson, who they drafted last year, who I thought was okay.
Dowell's a big body receiver.
Colt Dowell. Yep. Right. So you basically had Mason Kinsey, who's... I think this is his 18th training camp with the team, something like that. So,
Mason's a dog.
I know. That's why
he is a grinder. And
he's still around. Like, he's... Yeah. You know, so you essentially have like five guys fighting for one spot, maybe two.
Right. I said, it's you know, the more you can do, right? So who can play multiple spots at the receiver position, outside, you know, slot, whatever you want to put them at. And then to me, that last spot is a special team spot. Who's the receiver that can play maybe return punts? If not, you can play core four.
Yeah.
You can run down there on kickoff. I mean, the wide receivers will go through tight ends. They'll all go through the tackling drills, right, in the circuits. Who can tackle, who can run, and, you know, who can play that core four spot.
And tight end is going to play in the receiver, too, because how many tight ends do you want to carry? We've kind of seen them go heavy at tight end because they usually have one that kind of plays the H-back, fullback kind of role. So you got Gunnar Helm, who they just drafted, who I'm really excited about. David Martin Robinson, who was a camp darling last year, made the team and then didn't really do anything. Odakoya has been around for a while, the last couple of years. Chig, Josh Wiley. So, I mean, that's
it's a young group.
Five going into camp right now. And, you know, the Titans are notorious for finding the big H-back guy usually later and adding them before camp. So, you know, because I don't really know who that is at this point. I mean, Helm can block, he can catch, he can kind of do those things. But the tight end battle is going to be probably the one that's going to be watched a lot because, you know, a lot of people don't really consider Chig to be a true starting tight end. I mean, I might be one of them.
Right.
So it's just, can Helm get adapted quick enough to take that spot? Is he even good enough to take that spot? Or is there still work to be done with the tight end?
Yeah. Well, I mean – obviously, that's going to weed itself out come training camp, preseason. But like I said, you know, that last spot, you know, it's like Julius Chestnut, Mullins type battle. You know, you might obviously some other guys in there, but the special teams is going to come into a huge play. Usually, you know, when you're looking at that sixth receiver, maybe that third tight end, maybe fourth tight end, but usually third, that last running back, third or fourth running back, it's just who can play special teams. And the same, it's the same thing on defense, right? Who's the corner that can kind of play multiple spots but is going to start on special teams, right? Who can be a gunner? Linebacker, who are your linebackers that can go out there and on punt return and punt and protect? You know, and then the kickoff isn't obviously, you know, with the new rules and all that stuff, you're not running down there trying to blow people up. But, you know, now you're looking at Bones is looking for different types of bodies on kickoff, right? Because it's now it's everything's just short space, tight space. You know, you're in a phone booth trying to win your one-on-one and go make a tackle pretty quickly. So, you know, those last spots, I mean, they come down to who can play special teams.
I think I'm really excited about special teams because of Fossil.
He puts – obviously for him, obviously with Stonehouse and you know, once again, that's, you know what Stoney was due money-wise and what you're getting Hecker for, there's, you know, financial implications for that.
Yeah.
But, you know, how Johnny punts – you know, he's directional. You know, he's going to put hang time on it. You're going to see a lot more fair catches. It's going to look different than obviously what Stonehouse did. But that's what Bones, that's what he likes, right? Some guys, hey, go ahead, bomb it. We're going to get the guys to go cover it. Do your thing. Other guys are like, hey, man, we need you to put it here. We need you to put it here. And I'm going to build, especially my punt team, around covering those types of punts.
And I think they had, didn't they have Jesse Mirko from Vandy? I think he was here this weekend.
Was he?
Yeah, I think I heard that somewhere.
I didn't see the list of all who was there for the mini camp this weekend.
Yeah,
but I mean, I know you're allowed. You know, obviously some local guys.
Yeah, and I mean, did you like that? Obviously, you know, when they brought Stoney in, that didn't work out.
Yeah, that wasn't great. But
I mean, did you like having somebody else that you know you could compete with?
I mean, no, but I knew that like that's what was going to make me better.
Right.
Right. You know, if there's nobody to compete with. Like I said, you know, I think in shows prior, like complacency can set in, and that's dangerous in the NFL.
Yeah,
real dangerous because if you're not where management thinks you're supposed to be, right, then they'll just find somebody else.
Yeah, I mean, because I know every year, like, I'd go and, you know, when things, like, when you were there and then there's been a few years of kicker battles and stuff, right. But it's like they bring in this, like, who is this guy from?
But I'm so competitive that, like, even though I knew, you know, whether it was a couple weeks of punting and I knew that I was better than him, I still, like, I did not want to lose the session.
Yeah.
Right. So if I got six punts and he got four, like, I was not going to lose.
Right.
I was not going to lose. And it just makes you better.
I do remember we were there broadcasting and you and I chatted for a second. And then the punter, you guys were right in front of us. And I saw Stoney punt it for the first time. And I'm like, uh-oh.
Yeah. No, trust me. I saw him punt it for the first time. And I think I, you know, got done with practice and I texted my wife and I was like, this is going to be a grind for going into year 15. This is going to be tough. So. Yeah.
Brett Kern is, we're glad he's here, for sure, but after a great career. He's hanging out in the studio with us today for the first hour. We'll get back to our question of the day, which is, if Cam Ward, what franchise rookie quarterback record does he have the best chance to break? 3,338 passing yards, 19 passing touchdowns for the year, 371 passing yards in a game, 4 passing touchdowns in a game, or a 62.2 completion percentage for the year. We'll do that. Plus, the schedule will be released on Wednesday. I'll ask Brett my over-under on primetime games for the Titans. We'll do that next. Ooh. Chase and Big Joe presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel here on this Monday, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game on this Monday, on a little later today, and Brett Kern joining us in studio for the first hour. Joe will be along in the second hour as well. Looking forward to that. Tim Corbin at 2 o'clock today after a big weekend for the Commodores baseball team. But we'll get back to our question of the day in a second. But the schedule will be released.
Yes,
coming up on Wednesday. And it's funny, like, I asked you in the break, like, do you ever care about that? Or, you know, because I think Callahan said it was like, I maybe look at the first two games and then you know, one game at a time after that.
He's not a specialist.
Right, for you, it probably was very important because you wanted to see where you were kicking in, you know, November, December, and January.
100%. It was. Where are we going November, December, right? Are we Northeast, you know, a couple of years when we had like Buffalo, New England, Chicago, you know, those Green Bay. Do we get those early on in the year? Do we get them later? When do we get at Indy, at Houston? I loved when they were December because the roof would be closed. So, and then you're just looking at, you know, kind of how many home games do you have? Because, you know, I mean, Nashville, December, you know, I remember last game of the year, I was around New Year's Day against the Texans, it was 70 degrees, right? And then, you know, I remember when we were trying to, well, when we clinched in 2017, the playoffs, we played Jacksonville. I think it was like the coldest game in Nissan Stadium history, right? So December is obviously 50-50 with the weather, but at least you have a chance of having a warm day. So I always looked at the schedule, when are we playing, or where, you know, at what time of the year are we playing certain teams, and you just kind of go about planning for how the year's going
to
go.
Well, the good news this year when it comes to cold climates, there's really only two to have to worry about, Denver and Cleveland.
Denver, yep. Okay. Denver, so, but the Denver is one of the things you play it late. It could be 60 and sunny out there.
Yeah.
You know, I played out there when it was 15 degrees.
Right.
And the sun's out and you're like, oh, this actually isn't that bad.
Yeah.
So Denver's not too bad.
Yeah, but you always, I mean, you know, and you actually played there. But did,
yeah.
But did you guys factor in the whole, you know, the altitude and all that
stuff? I mean,
stuff,
it gives you an extra – if it was that much of a competitive advantage, the NFL would have to do something about it.
Right.
I think maybe you get an extra 2 to 3 tenths a second of hang time. So maybe something down here, you know, Nashville or even down sea level, you know, maybe a hang time that's 4.6. Maybe in Denver it could be like a 4.8.
Oh, wow.
You know, and then I think – you know, yardage wise, maybe you got an extra 5 yards.
Yeah,
it wasn't as crazy as people think.
Did it affect like your like catching your breath and stuff like that?
I remember my rookie year when I got out there. The first workout we had was 300s, and we had to run 10 of them. And I thought, I mean, I threw up. I wasn't the only one,
yeah.
But and I was in shape. I mean, right. I knew. Coming in, you know, we're gonna be running all that kind of stuff. I was gonna have to run with everybody, and so I was in really good shape. And we did 10 300s, timed, you know, timed rest, which wasn't a lot. Felt like no rest, but yeah, that was rough. That was tough. So it can get you.
Yeah. 615-737-1025. We'll get more on our question of the day. Over under 1.5 primetime games for the Titans. They had one last year on Monday night in Miami.
Is it a requirement now that you have to play on Thursday night?
No. Because they didn't have a Thursday night last year.
So there goes one. All right. Did they put New England?
I think you have to. I mean,
you think that's one of those Thursday night games?
What I have been saying basically since Vrabel took that job was, if you open the Titans season on the road, the home opener is Thursday night against New England. Hmm. With Cam Ward, the first overall pick, and then Vrabel's return to Nashville.
What about that? I wonder if it could be one of those. I wonder how many of the double Monday night games they have this year.
Yeah, I mean, I think they do five a year.
Now. Five of the double headers?
I believe.
I could see them. You know what? I'm going to take the over just because I think with Cam Ward being the number one pick,
that's intriguing.
I think they're going to want to have him on TV.
Yeah, I think it's intriguing.
So I could see him, I mean, two. I can see three.
They play Kansas City at home. So, I mean, that could be a factor to put him on against Mahomes. You know, Teron said he could see that being like a Sunday night game.
Okay.
Potentially. The home opponents, obviously the division, Chargers, Chiefs, Patriots, Rams, Saints, and then Seahawks.
Hmm.
And then on the road.
So New England's got the best chance.
I would say Kansas City and New England,
okay,
the best chance for that. And then on the road, Arizona, Denver, Cleveland, San Francisco, Vegas. Hmm.
What if Shador's starting?
That, I mean, maybe you schedule that one later in the year.
I'm just dying laughing back here. If that actually happens, that would be primetime TV.
It's Cleveland. It's not a stretch.
You have Joe Flacco. When's the last time he played a full 17?
Derek was probably playing with him.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, so the odds of him playing 17 are probably pretty slim.
Yeah. I don't know what they're going to do. They're not carrying four quarterbacks. But you traded for Kenny Pickett.
Right.
You just signed Flacco. So are you going really to cut trade, Flacco?
You try to trade Kenny. He's not going back to Pittsburgh.
I think Kenny Pickett's their day one starter, in my opinion.
I think so. And then Gabriel and Shador.
Gabriel's a third round pick.
I know. Which was just. I don't know.
I'll be curious to see what New Orleans does.
I don't know if y'all saw any of the videos over the weekend, but Shador Sanders was throwing some airmails and just 7-on-7. It was bad.
He was missing?
Yeah. No, he was just throwing interceptions.
Oh, interceptions.
Like, they were just lofted up in the air, and people were like, oh, thank you for my takeout menu. I'll just take it.
I'll take this.
Yikes.
Yeah. So I don't know.
So maybe that won't happen. So we'll just forget the Shador-Cam Ward matchup.
It still could happen, Brett. It still could happen.
I'm with you. I go slightly over because I think it's two.
Two. Yeah,
I think, and maybe there's some flex options later in the year, but I think, to me, New England, Kansas City has the best chance. Maybe Houston, but I don't think the national audience cares about that.
No,
so
they definitely don't care about as much as the two cities do.
Yeah,
two ownership groups.
I think you're on to something, though, Chase, because you retire Warren Moon's number, you take it out of retirement. I mean, there might be something there.
Warren Moon, what do they do? I forgot what they do down in Houston. They bang a drum, or they, you know how some teams, they come out, like Carolina bangs the drum. We got the sword.
Kansas City does the drum. Yeah, you're right.
Kansas City does the drum. Like, what does Houston do? Ride the bull or something? I don't know.
Saddle them up.
I should know. I mean, I play down there, but I just remember J.J. Watt being introduced, and they played Turn Down for Watt. That just runs replay in my head.
This was
just brutal. What if Warren Moon is like the
double agent?
Yeah. Or what if they introduce him like as like the guy of the game or whatever Houston they do down legend. There?
No, but what would be awesome is if he did that and he walks out in like a Texans jersey and then he just like rips it off and he's got the Oilers jersey on underneath.
We gotta stop.
Just really like, you know, goes crazy with it. But Brett, thanks for coming in. Good to catch up with you.
Yeah, it's a pleasure.
Yeah, we'll have to do this again for sure. It was a lot of fun. It flew by.
Yeah, it did.
That is for sure. He is Brett Kern, former Titans punter. We'll have more coming here on Chase and Big Joe in the afternoon, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.